This movie is on so many lists of films to see before you die. It's not even funny. And I think it's interesting that it's on list to see before you die. Now,
it's ironic.
Well, and Nosferatu has a very kind of fraught early history. I recall reading, I believe it's David Scull's book, Hollywood Gothic, that talks about the long, torturous journey that Nosferatu made from 1922 to 2017, and that it almost didn't make it. Dr. Graham Schneider, can you talk a little bit about how lucky we are to have this film at all?
A lot of people think this was the first version of a vampire or Dracula, and it actually isn't, but it's the first one that we still have. The first one was called, it was a Hungarian film called Dracula's Death by, I believe it's pronounced Károly Lefay, and it was made in 1921, and it is lost to us forever. The only reason we know that it exists is from film reviews, and the character Dracula does appear in that, although the plot is not the same. Now, this one where we have Count Orlok, this one almost completely steals the Dracula story, except for method of death.
Right.
And because it almost completely steals it, Florence Stoker, who was the widow of Bram Stoker, went after it. Mm-hmm. Somebody anonymously sent her like a flyer, and it said, I'll even quote it, freely adapted from Bram Stoker's Dracula, and she was having none of that. And so they went to court over it, and it was ordered that all the prints were destroyed.
Mm-hmm.
And fortunately, somebody hid some away in their closet or their attic or whatever, and it was found shortly before she died. And so that's why there's a resurgence of it.
Now, F.W. Murnau, the director of this film, is a name that a lot of people probably haven't heard, but there's a very good chance you've seen his work, even if Nosferatu is it. And I mean, Max Schreck's makeup as the vampire is really, I'm going to say, iconic.
It is, but you want to know something about that makeup? It's actually minimal. it is. It really is. Murnau cast Max Schreck because he said he is the ugliest man in film. And no, I'm serious. He didn't really like him, but he cast him because he thought he was so ugly. So really, the ears are additions. Of course, the teeth are additions, but everything else is minimal, and the fingers, of course, but everything else is minimal. It's mostly Max Schreck's face. So, yeah. His name, by the way, he was meant to play this. His name means terror. Schreck means terror in German, or fright, or something, some variation of that. And there was actually a big rumor for a long time that started in the 1950s, that Max Schreck was actually a vampire. And there's been a movie made called Shadow of the Vampire that is a fictionalized movie of the making of Nosferatu. It's got Willem Dafoe in it playing Max Schreck, where Max Schreck is a vampire and killing people on the set.
Oh, yeah.
That's a lovely movie.
Eddie Izzard and John Malkovich. It's fantastic.
Yeah, it's a great film.
I really would like to add that there was a remake by Herzog.
Oh, and with Klaus Kinski.
Yes, in 1979. And the same, I think, approach applied, because when you've seen Klaus Kinski in the role of Count Orlok, it is also quite frightening, because Klaus Kinski fits the bill. He's not as ugly as Schreck, but
he's weirder, actually.
But he is weird. Yeah.
So, what stands out to you about Nosferatu? I mean, other than it is one of the earliest complete vampire films that we have, what gives it the cachet that it's got?
It set the bar for horror movies. It really did. All the shadow play and the German expressionism in it. I mean, we still see that. Tim Burton uses that.
Right.
I mean, heavily. We still see that in horror movies. And it still is the standard. And everybody can look back to Nosferatu. Nosferatu, the Golem, and oh, there was another one. But they were, oh, Cabinet. How could I forget? Yeah, Cabinet of Dr. Caligari. Mm-hmm. Those were the three horror movies that set the standard for the horror movies even that we see today. I watched when I was in California and I'm on the plane trip back home. I watched Bram Stoker's Dracula mm-hmm. again, and I hadn't seen it probably in about 10 years. And I watched it and I was like, oh my God, that all of this relates back to Nosferatu, mm. the Murnau version and whatnot, and just how beautiful the shadow play was and the use of expressionism in that as well. It was just gorgeous stuff.
It sounds like Murnau, in the same way that D.W. Griffith invented a lot of film language for historical epics and broader dramas like that, Murnau really invented the film language of horror and science fiction even.
Oh, yeah, totally. I mean, in terms of the visual expression of it, yes, that and, again, those other two films, Gollum and The Cabinet of Dr. Caligari, that's what we do today. The other thing that's interesting about this in terms of the language of it is the vampire trope of the vampire dies when sunlight hits. Hmm. If you've ever read the novel, he doesn't die if he's in the sun. He's just, his power is diminished and he is like a man. But this was the first time that we saw a vampire die from sunlight, which now we just consider to be, well, a standard. Yeah,
right.
It's a thing. But in Bram Stoker's Dracula, you had to, the novel, not well, and the movie, but you had to like stake them in the heart and chop off their head.
Mm-hmm.
That was the only way to kill them. And so that made sunlight and crosses and all of that a thing for the first time. So well, it actually added to the mythology of the vampire.
It's also interesting because it has that kind of a narrative that goes along with it with a disease and death, and it's really heightened in Herzog's version mm-hmm. with the invasion of the rats into the town, but it's very subtle how it plays with, and I call her Mina because that's the last time I saw Nosferatu, she had the name Mina, even though that I don't believe that's her original name in the original print.
Well, they change the names depending upon who is putting it together.
Right.
Like the version that I looked at before I did this, like last week when I was like, oh, I should watch it again, they actually called Orlok Dracula.
Right.
And I forget the character's name. I have it written down here somewhere.
Jonathan Hutter.
But yeah, he was, I thought it was Hawker. But anyway, it doesn't matter. But they had him and he was Harker
mm-hmm.
and she was Mina.
Right.
Instead of the names that they originally were in the 1920s version.
So Nosferatu is happening this week for Halloween, and I can't think of a better, more atmospheric film aside actually from Kinski's Herzog's version of Nosferatu to screen. What's going on next week?
Well, next week we scheduled the German movie called Atmen, Breathing. There's going to be a little change to the program on the Friday and Saturday, that is to say the 3rd and 4th of November. So we're going to screen Atmen, Breathing on the Thursday, as usual, 7:30 in Kurt Center Theater. But we have been kicked out on the Friday and Saturday for the university needs the theater for something else. So I'm sorry, but we'll have to postpone those 2 days. We're going to rescreen the movie mm-hmm. at the end of the program. So the program is going to be ending on the weekend of the 9th, 10th, 11th with the Japanese movie. That's an anime, beautiful, Kaguya. And we will screen what is left of Breathing on the following weekend, which will be 17 and 18 of November.
Okay, so instead of the 2nd, 3rd, 4th, it's just the
instead
2nd.
Instead of the 3rd, yeah, and 4th.
Then the 17th and 18th.
17 and 18th. So we will keep the Thursday of next week, but then we'll postpone the Friday and Saturday on the 17th and 18th of November, same time, 7:30.
Mm-hmm.
So sorry for that, but it's just a little glitch.
C'est la vie.
Yeah, c'est la vie. But it's going to be the German movie. And so as we were talking about German expressionism, as an Nosferatu being an example of German expressionism in film, we will be able to see, you know, just continue with the tradition of German cinema with the movie Breathing next week.
Well, Dr. St. Paul, thanks for coming up. Dr. Lissa Graham-Schneider, thank you for coming up. And I hope that you have sweet dreams this weekend.
Thank you.
Yes.